103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Hi, Sod Show listeners. It's another Friday afternoon and a half hour of gardening and horticulture from The Sod Show with myself, Brian Green, and himself, Peter Donegan. He's outdoors and I'm deep underground in a dark, warm studio. It's a kind of place that's so deep that nothing will grow this deep down, if you know what I mean. We will be going outdoors. We will not be claustrophobic. Your radio speakers, your earbuds will go outdoors in a moment. But first, if you want to get in touch, we are on Twitter during the show, at Sodshow on Twitter. And during the week, we are on email, info@sodshow.com. If you want to get the last 5 years of shows, I know you have loads of time to listen to them, so if you want to go back and listen to any of them, sodshow.com is where you can go. Peter has his running jokes through the show, and so do I. I'm the person who has never actually seen a real beetroot in the flesh. I have not. So if you want to burst the bubble of that in-joke on The Sod Show, just send us in one. We're available on post to Dublin City FM, Docklands Innovation Park, East Wall Road in Dublin 3. Let's get on with some real gardening. And Peter is talking with a wonderful gardener we met at the RHS Chelsea Flower Show. It's Julia Sargent and her garden, the Modern Slavery Garden.
It's another Friday afternoon in my company. I am delighted to welcome on the Sod Show Juliet Sargent. Juliet, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, yes.
There's a lot of hustle and bustle around. For those who aren't aware, if the trucks come and go, that's absolutely fine. Juliet, we stumbled across you to your... This is a fine compliment. If I was in a bar in Dublin or somewhere in London, I would be chatting you up at this stage of the game. You popped onto my radar because of your garden that you did at Chelsea 2016. I then met Rosie of Rose Tinted Pior, who kind of said, oh, and she put two and two together, and we came up with what we now have now, which is the interview that's happening. So let's go back a little bit away from the Chelsea thing just for a minute. Who is Juliet Sargent? Did you study horticulture? Was your mom a gardener? How did that all start?
I've been designing gardens now for about 20 years, but it wasn't my first career. My first career was medicine. I studied to be a doctor. But even from the age of about 8, I think, I've enjoyed gardening. And that all started with my mum, who was a keen gardener, saying, OK, you can have that corner of the garden and that's yours. And I created a rockery, and I think that's probably when the seeds were sown. So even though I went off to study medicine, gardening was always there.
To your credit, though, the first garden that I did for my dad was a rockery with dwarf conifers, and I cringe a little bit in the log roll sense of it at the thoughts of having done a rockery with dwarf conifers. Was yours on par with mine?
Mine was sort of mechanically challenged because I decided I wanted to have a stream running from the top to the bottom of my rockery, but of course I knew nothing about water pumps, so it was quite tricky to get the water to move in the way I wanted it to.
When you look back at that, are you secretly proud? Do you have a photograph? Because you would have had to get photographs developed back in those days.
There's a very sort of grey, grainy 70s photo, yeah.
So let's then go to the medicine thing. You studied medicine. Did you qualify to be a doctor?
Yeah, I practiced in hospital medicine for about 4 years. Yeah.
And then what was that light bulb moment? What made you go, I've got to get out of here?
I did enjoy medicine, but the one thing is that I'd missed the creative side of things. You know, I'd enjoyed art at school, but I'd had to obviously follow the sciences because I was going to be a doctor. But I'd regretted having to drop that. And I think if in the end I decided that the creative side was just a little bit more me.
Okay, I've got two hats on. One is the electricity bill and water charges and paying your car tax. And to me, a doctor would allow those things to happen a little bit easier. every single person I know in horticulture says, look, this is a labour of love. It's frostbite on Christmas Day. It's a bad suntan in my case, or as the guys from Perennial, GBRS, would note, it's my white Irish arse and my suntanned arms. It's that. And on a very serious level, it's not always paid the greatest, to be fair, but I love it dearly and I wouldn't swap it for the world. You left the nice job with I will gather the nice car and the nice and a desk and all of those things and swapped it for this.
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, everybody has to decide what they're going to do with their allotted time on Earth, and it's about life balance and what makes you happy at the end of the day, isn't it?
I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that. Most people, yeah. Anyhow, okay. Look, all right. So you went and you did Chelsea 2016. Let's get into that then.
Yes.
The garden was the modern slavery garden. I want to take this, if I can, on two levels, because, I guess there's a question at the end of this. There is a message in there, but at the same token, I would also gather that you want it to be remembered for your skills as a garden designer as well. As is that a fair way to put that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Of course, I was asked by the sponsor to create a garden that would bring this subject, very important subject of modern slavery, to public attention, but of course for me as a garden designer, it's such a privilege. It's you know, a lifetime dream to be able to show at Chelsea Flower Show and to be able to show people what I can do.
Let's get into the sponsor. Who is your sponsor?
It's actually a private sponsor, a group of people who for years actually have been campaigning against slavery, and they happen also to be very keen gardeners. And when they were thinking, you know, how do we introduce this really quite tricky, gritty subject to people, they thought, hang on, what about the Chelsea Flower Show? Because, of course, it has fantastic coverage. It's, you know, seen all over the world. And it's a way of just gently introducing people to something that they may not know much about.
The message is modern slavery. We'll get to that in just a second. In the nicest way of saying, they obviously had to do that thing where I initially said at the start of this interview that if we were in a pub, I'd be chatting you up, kind of a thing. So they obviously saw you and said, she's the lady that we would like to have. How was that? How did that conversation happen? Do you remember that? Was it a phone call where you...
No, it was a face-to-face conversation. I think we'd... I'd known one of the members of the team before. And, you know, just in general conversation, I think I had told her that about 10 years ago, I did design a garden for Chelsea, which was about the... do you remember about 10 years ago, there was the awful tragedy with the Morecambe Bay cockle pickers? And I was really moved by that because I grew up near Hastings, so I was very aware of fishermen and the risks that people take to put food on our plates. So I designed a garden at that stage that was actually accepted by the RHS. I was delighted, but I couldn't get a sponsor at that stage. And so I'd always been disappointed by that. And I think that sort of piqued the interest of the sponsor because they, you know, obviously that actually was a modern slavery situation, although we didn't call it that in those days. And I think they thought, oh, you know, she's obviously on our wavelength.
So they did they court you? Was it an easy yes?
Oh, I mean, they said, you know, do you fancy doing a garden at Chelsea? And I just bit their hand off, you know.
Absolutely, I'd have bit their hand off as well. This is your first time here?
Of course, I visit every year. I have done a trade stand a few years ago, and that was great to get experience because there's nothing like trying to put on a garden at Chelsea. But it's the first time I've showed, yeah.
And what's the feeling being like? Is it a little bit of kind of nervousness? Because to be quite fair, I know we've had Paul Martin on the show and we've had Anne-Marie Powell on. And even at that, I'm still walking around going, oh, my God, there's, Yeah, and then you have to play it cool and kind of go, that's him. Okay, fair enough. We'll just, Was there a small element of that you were in with the big boys? Is that a fair way to put it?
Well, garden design is actually quite a small world, so we do tend to rub shoulders with the great and the good in garden design. And but the great thing, of course, about a show like Chelsea is you get to see them at work. You know, we take little trips around the ground and see how they're planting, what they're doing, and you can pick up some really great advice and how to do tips.
Let's get into the garden if we can then. What is the garden as people would be looking at it? So for those of you listening to this in podcast in the future, it might be 2017 by the time you're listening to this and you're wondering just what exactly Julietta done maybe 1 year prior to that. If you're looking at this at Sod Show on Twitter, or you're on the Twitter thing, aren't you?
We are,
Go ahead, give it to me.
At Modern Slavery Garden.
Okay, and you'll get all the photographs from that and it'll be all there and you'll be able to see it all. If you're stuck at Sod Show on Twitter, we'll send it all on to you. Keep on listening and we'll get to that. So what are people seeing now as they're listening to this?
Well, as you come up to the garden, I think the first thing you'd notice is that there are upright doors standing around all four sides of it. And then hopefully your eye would be drawn to the really bright, colourful planting that I've wrapped around the outside of the garden. So I wanted it to be a feast of colour, really. And for me, myself, I wanted a little bit of a challenge. I thought, okay, I've got an opportunity to play with colour here. So instead of having just one colour scheme, I've actually wrapped colour round and changed it as you walk around the garden. So it starts with sort of burnt oranges and browns and russet colours, and then goes through to really blood reds. There's a fantastic lupin called Lupin Beefeater, and then those reds meld into oranges and then round to apricots, and then it becomes pinker and eventually goes to purples. So on all four sides there's a different colour.
Explain to me the doors, because and don't get me wrong, my head is twofold. As a guy who's built show gardens before, there's the first bit where you see something and you turn around and go, I like that. Then there's the point where you turn around and you look at the visual that you would have submitted to Chelsea and you look at that. But it's got to be eye-catching, number one. And the first thing that stands that my eye went to, obviously, was the colour and the planting and the palette. And I kind of thought, okay, that's really smart. Then you go to the upper level, or at least my eye did, and it was all of the doors surrounded by the black railings. Some of the doors are open, there's letterboxes, there's handles, and I'm kind of going, it is literally one of them that you kind of have to ask the question, what is this about, assuming that you have never known that this was the Modern Slavery Garden before. Is that a fair way to put it?
I think that's absolutely fair, and that's what I wanted to do, to attract people to come and look, and then for them to start asking, what is this about, as you say. And so I've sort of incorporated layers of meaning within the garden that I hope will engage people. So, for example, in the centre of the garden, it's black. There are no plants in the centre to speak of. And the insides of the doors, instead of being lovely gloss colours like the outside, is painted matte black. So the idea is that inside it represents the captive space where slaves are held. And obviously it's lifeless, it's dark, it's depressing, it's frightening. And the only plants that are in the centre are a single oak tree and a few oak saplings underneath. And the single oak tree represents the oak tree that William Wilberforce stood underneath. You might remember him from your history lessons at school. He, in the 1800s, was the politician who brought the first anti-slavery act to Parliament in order to abolish slavery. And the oak saplings underneath represent the ongoing work of anti-slavery workers, as if their work is sort of seeded from his work 200 years ago.
So we're kind of getting into that now, which is the modern slavery bit. And are we okay to go to that area? Is that okay?
Yes.
So let's assume that I know absolutely nothing at all, and that kind of means everybody's on the same wavelength, and some may be well aware of it, some maybe not so well aware, but
yep.
that's also the logic of having the garden here and why your sponsors wanted you here as well. So what to me, to the person who knows nothing, is modern slavery as we know it?
I mean, I was one of those people when this project started. I really had no idea. Modern slavery is the fact that although slavery was abolished about 250 years ago, it still exists. So, or it's illegal, it's a crime, but it is the abuse of people for economic reasons, holding people against their will and making them work in some way in order to make money for you, and you are abusing them. So examples would be domestic servitude, so people who are held, I mean, particularly in cities, definitely in London, people held and made to work, you know, all the hours, perhaps sleeping under the stairs or in a cellar with no proper care, and not paid. That's an example. Another would be, of course, forced prostitution. That's a biggie. And then another one might be in the agricultural industry, where people are taken into the middle of nowhere, perhaps in Norfolk, and kept in bad conditions, possibly in a porter cabin, and made to work all the hours that God sends, again, for little or no pay. And they might have their passports taken off them. Perhaps they don't speak English. They're vulnerable in some way.
It's just apologies, folks. There's a little bit of noise going on in the background, but we're okay. We're all right. We're the Sideshow. We can get away with these things. Is it a serious thing? Because it's not one of those things that you can see. It's not something that all of us are kind of affected by. If you were to say to me, we see these stats that the police force and the police services come out with, that says you know gun crime is down by 3%, or that's a fictitious number, as by the way, but people having their handbags robbed or whatever the case may be, that's something we can all identify with. Modern slavery isn't something that all of us would get to really see. Is that a fair way to put that?
I think that's part of the idea of the doors in the garden, that it is a hidden crime. We don't see it, but it is going on all around us. And although it doesn't affect us in our day-to-day lives, we are very close to people who are in these situations. They're in every major town, and people held captive. And actually, the way that it directly links to us is that many of the products that we buy are created by people who are in a situation of slavery. So if I take what would be a good example, the steel in the garden has a very long supply chain. It's made from charcoal. The charcoal might be felled, perhaps in Brazil, by people who are kept in a slavery situation and made to fell the trees and make the charcoal. So steel that is made from that charcoal to make our watches, to make our phones, our cars, the railings in this garden, quite possibly, might involve slavery. So what we're trying to do is perhaps make people question where the products that they buy are coming from. And we have a campaign called #AskTheQuestion. And we're asking people just to take a photo of maybe your sunglasses, your shoes, whatever you've got on you, and then just tag the person or the company you bought it from, you know, ordinary companies, Marks and Spencers, Volvo, whoever, and ask them, #AskTheQuestion, is this slavery free? And we just hope to open a conversation with suppliers so that they become more aware of their own supply chains.
Without speaking on behalf of any greater brand, I obviously don't represent any of them, and as we noted some weeks ago on the show, the Sideshow team is but myself and Brian. That's okay. So, but is there a double whammy in that where you say ask the question and it might be misinterpreted as, let's say that maybe Peter might be having a pop at, let's say, Volvo, for example, or is it a case of, well, no, Pete, look, honest to God, look, we're just, it's, it's raising awareness, it's raising them. I know we're mentioning a brand's name in that, but it's not in a bad way.
No, we definitely don't want to have a pop at anybody, because we're all on a journey with this. You know, this is fairly new to a great many people, and what we want to do is just get people thinking.
And that's it. Just get people
just
thinking.
Just get people thinking, okay. And questioning. Yep.
Because, and to clarify that, and to be fair to Juliet, the campaign, the hashtag, the Ask the Question, we've obviously done our research on this one before we spoke to Juliet. There is a point where it's not visible. It is about raising awareness. And when you put it in context, like my steel gates or your railings here, it's something that I would never entirely have considered before. I would have considered maybe slavery in the sense that you've described it, all right, in the agricultural sense and maybe in the domestic sense, but never in the product sense. And that sounds a little bit naive of me, but I never did. And it's only when I start leafing through, you start to kind of go, right, okay, I feel a little bit silly, but the awareness has been raised, which again goes back to the point of your garden.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go a little bit forward, further than this. Chelsea ends, Chelsea goes, 2016 passes. What's next for Juliet Sargent?
Well, I'm going to take a few days holiday.
Oh, right, I hope so.
Yes, and turn my phone off, yes. But then it's just back to work, designing gardens for people and hopefully making their lives happier and brighter with a lovely gardens.
Where do you operate, or where are you based?
I'm based in Brighton, yeah. So I work mostly in the southeast, Sussex, Kent.
Are you a Brighton and Hove Albion fan?
My daughter certainly is. Yes, she used to play for the girls' team. Yeah.
Oh, did she? Wow. Yeah. We've got we were keeping a close eye on it because Chris Hewton is obviously their manager, former Irish soccer player. Yeah, we were lucky to have him back in the day. How's business in Brighton?
Business is great in Brighton. I tend to do gardens sort of around the outskirts and into the countryside. I think probably just because my style is very much working with plants and possibly suits a rural setting better. But I don't want to put people off contacting me if they have gardens in Brighton. Do feel free to contact me. Yes, because I'm doing one or two in the city, but all around.
And in the other side of it, just to clarify this, because I know, again, from a show garden point of view, sometimes they can have a message and sometimes they can be, you know, a little bit extravagant. It doesn't mean that, let's say, in my case anyway, I know people said to me, oh, do you only do gardens of that? And I'm going, oh, God, no. I also do, yeah. You don't do just gardens with doors and black steel
railings. I won't be forcing people to have doors in their back gardens. No. I sort of pride myself really on creating gardens that reflect the personality of the client. That's what I love doing, actually, getting to know somebody and trying to create for them the garden that they see in their head that they would create if they had the particular skills that I do as a designer.
Do you think you look back on this one and say Juliet did good, proud, do you think?
The garden is exactly as I saw it in my mind when I was designing
it.
And
I
think as a designer, that's all you can hope for, really. I'm really, you know, medals aside, I'm just so chuffed to have had the opportunity to have such a great team. The team have been fantastic. Outdoor Room have built the garden, and we've got a fantastic team of planters. We've just all had a really nice time. It's been great.
I have to say, folks, if you do get a chance, try and get to see Juliet's garden if you can. It was the Modern Slavery Garden. It's at Modern Slavery GN on Twitter. The Instagram account is Modern Slavery Garden. Do go take a look. It is more than well worth seeing it. And if you are on the Twitter stream, send Juliet a note and wish her all the best. Juliet Sargent, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real genuine pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Juliet. Time for Song of the Week. Do we have time for Song of the Week? We do. It's kind of a good one, and it's kind of linked to what we've just been talking about. No more auction blocks for me. This is Ida Maria. Ida Maria, No More Auction Block for Me, from her 2016 LP Scandalize My Name. Love, love Ida Maria. 103.2 Dublin City FM. This has been the Sod Show. We're available on podcast from Tea Time Thursday and on air each Friday at 3 o'clock on Dublin City FM. We'll talk to you next week. For myself, Brian Green, and himself, Peter Donegan, have a great week. Goodbye.